This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Andrea Stricker, a deputy director of the Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program, Foundation for Defense of Democracies, to help me with a report that comes to us following the B-2 raid on Iran in the summer, destroying, we're told, not only the ability to generate fissile material to make an atomic weapon, but also the fissile material that was in waiting and possibly could be used or accelerated to make an atomic weapon. Andrea, very good evening to you. This is in the Institute for Science and International Security, and you have a summary at the FDD site. What I want to do is go to some of the protocols of looking for the suspect nuclear weapons program in Iran. For example, we're going to discuss what happened at various facilities. There's the Fordo Fuel Enrichment Plant, the Fuel Enrichment Plant at Natanz, the Pilot Fuel Enrichment Plant at Natanz, the Uranium Conversion Facility at Esfahan. That's enough to start now. I believe that all four of those, three sites were hit in order to destroy the ability not only to make a bomb, but to reconstitute the fissile material. Is that correct, Andrea? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. I think what the IAEA is reporting is really stark and interesting compared to the situation that we had prior to the strikes in June by Israel and the United States. It's essentially saying that it can't verify the location, the whereabouts of any of Iran's nuclear material. And Iran had basically kicked the inspectors out of the country, stopped their inspecting activity. And the inspectors had to leave in early July, actually under threats to their safety from the regime. And so IAEA Director General Grossi and the U.S. and the European three have been trying to negotiate restored access. But what the IAEA is reporting is the loss of a significant amount of centrifuges, the operational status of all of the uranium fuel cycle facilities, and great destruction based on what they're seeing from satellite imagery.
Let's talk about the ability to make fissile material first before we go to the product itself. 20,000 centrifuges or more, the IAEA report, the report in the Institute for Science and International Security says 20,000 centrifuges of all types. What does this mean? What is an IR-1? What is an IR-2, IR-4, IR-6? What's that referring to, Andrea?
The IR-1 is Iran's basic early generation centrifuge. And then from there, as the numbers go up, the advancement of the centrifuges increases. So the IR-2M is the next generation. IR-4 is a little quicker. And then the IR-6 is the most advanced and fastest. So they enrich uranium faster as the number goes up. And as the IAEA notes, Iran was preparing to replace many of these IR-1 centrifuges at the Fordo facility right before the strikes. And so you can see that Israel and the United States were likely eyeing that with concern. And that's probably one of the reasons that they decided to act and try to prevent Iran from activating those new cascades of centrifuges.
I'm glad you identify that because I puzzled about that. On June 12th, there's information that Iran had the IR-6s ready to install at Fordo. The attack came on the 13th, so logic suggests that that was the trigger. We don't want them to put the new stuff in. What happened to the stuff that it wasn't installed in one day? That means we don't know where all the IR-6s centrifuges are, the ones that were not installed?
That's right. There could be some missing advanced centrifuges. However, Israel took out many of the centrifuge manufacturing and assembly facilities in Iran. So it likely destroyed a good portion. But that unknown is whether they had hidden away stocks of centrifuges that neither Israel nor the U.S. know about. And so they're looking also at whether any of the enrichment facilities, Fordo, Natanz, and the Natanz pilot plant, contain any centrifuges that may have survived. And then, as I think we'll get to, the IAEA also reported that Iran had told it was activating a new centrifuge plant in Esfahan. We think that's likely in a tunnel complex at that facility that the U.S. had bombed with Tomahawk missiles. It was only able to collapse the entrances. And so we don't know if any of the centrifuges or an enrichment plant deep in those tunnels may have survived the attacks.
So we don't know what we don't know. Thank you, Rumsfeld, once upon a time. And what we don't know is how many centrifuges they have. However, you just indicated that they're having lost the plant that built the centrifuges, they're now reconstituting the plant, building an entirely new one underground. Is that what the intention is?
Well, we think that the Esfahan enrichment plant was likely something they were readying. They may have installed some centrifuges, maybe not. They were, of course, boasting about its status. And they had done this in response to an IAEA Board of Governors censure finding Iran in noncompliance with the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty just before the strikes. And the IAEA had actually scheduled to go and see this Esfahan plant and had to cancel the inspection because the bombing happened. So it's interesting that Iran did declare the facility, but likely that means that they were pretty close to being able to start it up because they don't abide by their safeguards obligation to declare a centrifuge plant as soon as they decide to build it. They only do so once they're about to start it up.
All right. Overall, there were 22,000 centrifuges of all types. All types. We believe that though they were severely damaged in the B-2 raid and the Israeli raid prior to that. However, we can go now to the other part of the report, which is more mysterious to me. The centrifuge component manufacturing, the ability to generate centrifuges. Is that a difficult science? Does that require highly trained technical engineers who may or may not be alive?
Yes, it does require specialized engineering and materials as well as equipment. And so all of this material and equipment may have been destroyed. I think Israel actually targeted a lot of the nuclear weapons scientists, as far as I understand, rather than people who would build the centrifuges. Likely those people had been evacuated. But it could set back significantly Iran's ability to make new centrifuges unless they have a secret stock or manage to retain that Esfahan enrichment plant in the tunnels. And so I think we need to be very looking at whether Iran is procuring illicitly some of these needed equipment and material from abroad in the future.
The JCPOA, did it forbid Iran from constructing its own centrifuges? You note that Iran has declared that suspended, but was that a codicil that we've lost?
Right. The JCPOA had restricted Iran's building of centrifuges, but it allowed them to surge its deployment of centrifuges, including the advanced ones around this year, I believe last year. And so Iran would have already been rolling these out, so to speak. And so destroying them kind of prevented that future from happening that was written into the JCPOA.
I see. All right. So we have the facilities struck on the raids. We have the plans to reconstitute the centrifuges that may or may not be building now. And now we'll go in search of the fissile material. First thing is that they've made much of how much there is and what kind. We need to do some fundamentals here. What is 3% enriched, 20% enriched, 60% enriched, 90% enriched? What does that mean?
So a nuclear reactor, is going to require fuel-enriched, uranium-enriched between 3 and 20% typically. Iran was making 60% enriched uranium, which had no civil use, particularly in Iran. And then that put it essentially a stone's throw from 90% or weapons grade. And it was amassing that 60% material while not going over what the West had given as a red line of making 90%. So in amassing that material, it was putting itself essentially days away from being able to break out to 90%. And by the time that the two countries struck in June, it had enough enriched uranium for up to 11 nuclear weapons using just the 60%, and then more than 22 weapons overall using all forms and enriching those further.
So what we do know is that when the centrifuges are reconstituted, they have material to accelerate, and they have material at 60%. They do not have any 90% material as far as knowledge of at the IAEA. Is that correct?
That's correct. And one thing the IAEA doesn't report on is the damage that Israel caused to Iran's ability to weaponize nuclear material. So I think Israel, if you hear officials talking about their assessment, they're not as worried about an immediate breakout capability, even if some nuclear material and centrifuges survived. So they took out all of the ability to build the weapon, and even the headquarters of the nuclear weapons program known as SPND. The IAEA doesn't report on it because it's really outside their purview for monitoring. That's one of the weaknesses of IAEA safeguards. But we can rest assured that likely Iran's ability to build the nuclear weapon has been set back for 2 years or perhaps longer.
A detail here also that I didn't quite see the logic of how it fit into the rest of the reporting. Heavy water and reprocessing activities. What is heavy water? What use is it?
Heavy water is really a moderator for a nuclear reactor to keep it cool. And Israel had struck Iran's basically, its route to plutonium-based nuclear weapons, not only enriched uranium, by destroying its reactor at Arak, also known as the Khondab Heavy Water Research Reactor. And it was inactive, so they were able to strike it without causing a radiological disaster. But they also hit that heavy water production plant, and so they essentially eliminated Iran's ability to produce plutonium, and they were concerned that they would pursue that in the future, in the absence of having an enriched uranium route.
I'm speaking with Andrea Stricker of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.